Kate McGarrigle, the Canadian singer and songwriter who made memorable recordings with her sister Anna, died Monday of cancer at her home in Montreal. She was 63. The McGarrigle sisters were known for warm harmonies and evocative love songs. Critic John Rockwell once described their music as delicate and subtle, so vulnerable and private that you sometimes want to turn your head away. The McGarrigle sisters' first album was released in 1975, though by then their music had already been recorded by other artists, including Linda Ronstadt and Maria Muldaur. They never had a pop hit, but they recorded 10 albums and kept performing even as Kate was being treated for cancer. Their last album was released in 2005. Many of their performances included Kate's children, Rufus and Martha Wainwright. Kate was married to Loudon Wainwright in the 1970s. Today we're going to listen to an interview and performance Terry recorded with Kate and Anna McGarrigle in 1993. They opened with Anna's song, Heart Like a Wheel.
It's a beautiful song and beautifully sung. Thank you both for doing it, Kate and Anna McGarrigle. Now, the song that you just did, Heart Like a Wheel, I think, Anna, that was the first song that you wrote?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem possible to me, you know, to start off with something that good.
Well, it's sort of an awkward little song, but anyway,
why are you calling it awkward?
Oh, because it sort of moves, it changes metaphors in the first verse, you know, and it's just, I think it was just kind of written off the top of my head. And I didn't think about what I was doing.
And that's one of the songs that helped establish you commercially, I think, because Linda Ronstadt recorded it. And there's another singer that helped establish your reputations, you know, as songwriters, and that's Maria Muldaur,
that's
who recorded some of your songs.
Yes.
And one of those songs was one of your songs, Kate, Mendocino.
No, she didn't.
She
do
didn't
that.
Record Mendocino?
No,
the work song was
Linda Ronstadt recorded Mendocino later on, but the work song.
Play a few bars of that, the work song.
Right before my blues were blue, when the good old songs were new, songs that may no longer please us. But the darkies up, oh Jesus. That one.
So what was it like for you to have other people doing your songs? This was before you had started recording yourselves.
Right. It was great. It was truly terrific to have something that you've written come out. I remember Maria Muldaur did this song on the Johnny Carson show, and she said, "I'd like to thank my friend Kate McGarrigle for writing," something like that. And I was just thrilled.
So how did you start performing your own songs after other people started doing them?
Well, and the second, on Maria's second record, there was a song she, at this point, what she did or what her producers did, they said, well, the first record worked so well, let's get some more songs from the same writers. So it was David Nickturn and myself and a bunch of other people. And so I gave her a tape and she learned this song called Cool River, and they flew me out. And I wasn't sure what song they were doing. They said, come out and play the piano. And I got to the studio and they were in the session with about six, you know, heavy-duty musicians. And they said, play the piano, please. And I said, I don't know the song. And they said, well, I thought you wrote it. You gave us the tape. I said, no, that's my sister Anna. And they didn't really know about Anna. And they said, well, where is she? I said, in Montreal. And they actually said, do you think she'd come out here if we called her up? And I called you, right?
I was only too happy to take an airplane. I think I brought my accordion out with me.
And so she came out, and at that point, we'd already changed the arrangement. But since we were both there, we sang backup on her version. And that came out on her second record, Waitress in a Donut Shop. And then Greg Prestipino, who was working, helping her get songs, said, can I bring the girls into the studio since they're both out here? And that all happened in a week. And literally we went in, put down maybe six or seven songs that we had written, not really knowing each other's songs that much, but, you know, Anna would have the lyric sheets to my songs. She would sing harmony. I'd sing harmony to her songs. That's why we all ended up singing our own songs at the piano.
Let me skip ahead a little bit. And let's hear a more recent song than the song we opened with. And, Kate, this is one of your songs. It's called I Eat Dinner. Do you want to say anything about writing it, Kate, before we hear it?
Everybody thinks the song's about me, but it's actually about Frida Kahlo. I know Anna says she'll...
The painter?
Yeah.
The painter?
Yeah, there's an excerpt in the biography of her by Hayden Herrera. Saying where she's between husbands and lovers, or somebody's left her, or at this point two people have left her, and she writes a letter to a friend saying, for the first time in my life, I'm having dinner by myself at the kitchen table without any candles on it. I mean, it was just, it was the vision, because this woman had her life full. And
so Kate said, let me see now. I haven't got anybody in my life right now. I have a very pokey little kitchen with a little round table. And I just happen to have a daughter. So, but it was, I think, Kate says it's not really about her, but it, I think it is.
I don't eat leftovers.
That's true.
Why don't we hear the song?
Never thought that I'd end up this way. Ah, who loved the sparks? Never thought my hair'd be turned into gray. It used to be so dark, so potatoes. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the hunger's gone. When the hunger's gone. I eat dinner at the kitchen table and I wash it down. Leftovers with mashed potatoes. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the hunger stops. When the hunger stops. Never thought like this. Ah, who loves
table with my daughter, who is now 17. We eat leftovers with mashed potatoes. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the plate is clean. No more candlelight, no more romance, no more small talk when the hunger is gone. 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 When the hunger is gone.
Kate and Anna McGarrigle. What a wonderful song. And I guess maybe, Kate, it's a little bit about you and a little bit about Frida Kahlo.
Well, yes, I suppose so.
I want to get back to where we were before, that you hadn't started performing together till after you recorded backup vocals for Maria Muldaur. I imagine as kids you sang and performed, or at least in the house together?
Yeah. Our father thought it very important that we know how to sing and play. I don't know why, but our parents played at parties for people. I mean, like, they weren't professional musicians, but my mother had a very lovely singing voice, and he would always accompany her, and they'd sing, you know, party songs, kind of. And he was very, very musical. Our father was very musical. And he would teach us songs, and which we thought were dreadfully boring at the time, but he'd actually say, you know, I'll give you a nickel if you learn this song, or something like that. But he found it very important to teach us what he knew, the songs that he knew.
What kind of songs did you think of as boring that he taught you?
Oh, well, the stuff that he liked really was stuff that was pre. So my father was born in 1899. Our father was born in 1899. So he was in the first war. So in a way, there was a whole period in there of kind of sentimental ballads of people going away. And a lot of them not coming back. I mean, my mother remembering her mother crying because her brother was killed at Passchendaele. And that kind of, and there were many songs that we heard later, like an old John McCormick record and stuff, but mostly American songs that had to do with people going away, I guess because of that war. That was the first kind of war, which included Stephen Foster songs and that kind of stuff.
Do you think that's responsible at all for the melancholy strain in so many of your songs?
Absolutely. We were explaining last night, we sang a song, a song called Gentle Annie by Stephen Foster, and I sort of said this was the first song I remember my father playing or hearing, and of course he taught it to us, and Kate sort of jokingly said other people had songs, you know, sort of happy sort of children songs, and I said we always had songs about death. But I mean, we were an incredibly happy family. Nobody is really sad in our family. I think we're all sort of really well adjusted.
How do you work out the harmonies when you're working up a song?
I guess it depends on the song. I was going to say, I would say less and less, we seem to concentrate less and less on harmonies now, let's say when we're in the studio, because of our last thing with Heartbeats Accelerating, where we had a producer who really, he wanted to get a certain sound, and I don't think he wanted big block harmonies. That wasn't what he was into. But we've done all that stuff before, like on Kitty Come Home on our second record. You know,
we just
layered and layered stuff.
And 18 tracks.
But there's a definite way where the way we don't want to have them sound, and I can't, when they're just too blocky,
right,
sounding. When you have, what note is it on the bottom that we don't want normally?
The third.
You
don't want,
yeah,
the third on the bottom. I think also it's nicer to have wider spaces between them as opposed to when everything's just very closed up together. Well, also depending whether you're singing from your high range or your low range.
So you live about 90 minutes away from each other. Is it good to have that distance so that you're not with each other all the time?
I don't think it would make any difference. I mean, I think we probably, you know, when Anna comes to town, it's a great joy for me. Instead of rehearsing, we go shopping.
Yeah, the thing is, it's funny. I think as you get older and you have families of your own, that you just don't, you don't have time sometimes for your old friends. And I miss that, you know, but I also know that Kate's my best friend, and I hope I'm her best friend.
You're my only friend.
Yeah, yeah, right. Kate's so mean and nasty.
I'm awful.
But we're very, very, very close.
And I have great bread stores on my street. Within one block, I have four beautiful. They make beautiful French bread. So when Anna comes to town, she lives in this kind of
all I can get is sliced bread.
So because Anna lives in the country, so she can only get city food. But you know, when you live in the city, you get beautiful stuff.
Country food.
Let me ask you to close with another song, and this is a song from your most recent album, from
Heartbeats.
Yeah,
Accelerating.
Heartbeats Accelerating. And the song is Love Is. Before you perform it for us, this is a song that was written by both of you and
our sister,
your
Jane.
Other sister, Jane. Mm-hmm. How did you collaborate on it?
Anna and Janie wrote this. I actually wrote one line.
She wrote the best line.
And wasn't it generous of them to give you credit?
Very generous. I thank them very much. I really do.
And who's playing what on this?
Kate is playing the nylon string guitar. And
singing backup?
That's right, singing backup. And I'm playing the piano and singing
lead.
Front up.
Okay. Well, before we hear Love Is, let me thank you both a lot for doing the concert. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
Love is a shiny car. Love is a steel guitar. Love is a battle scar. Love is the morning star. Love is a 12-bar blues. Love is your blue suede shoes. Love is a heart abuse. Love is a mind confused. Love is the pleasures untold, and for some, love is still a band of gold.
Kate and Anna McGarrigle in a performance and interview recorded with Terry Gross in 1993. Kate McGarrigle died Monday of cancer. She was 63. She's survived by her sister Anna and her children, Rufus and Martha Wainwright. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.